Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's how the book of Psalms closes in Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise God. By the grace of God and by his tremendous love, let us enter into his living presence. And the Bible says that he inhabits, God inhabits the praises of his people. Wherever you may be in this precise moment, if you're getting ready to go to work or if you're already on the job and you're one of those who, when it comes 5:30 in the morning, you're already found employed and working, or maybe you're still in bed thinking about getting up. But I tell you what, wherever you are, let's worship God together from the deep of our heart. Sing his praises. Whether you feel like it or not, I'll guarantee you this. Even if you feel absolutely nothing, very dry in your heart and soul, I'll guarantee you that when you get your mind and thoughts off of yourself and off your feelings, and you begin to think of God and his greatness and love and goodness and faithfulness, and begin to worship him and say, "Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." It is going to absolutely change your morning. Let's worship him.
Soul, my Savior, God to thee.
a good verse of scripture found in Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. And another verse that speaks about the words that we speak, Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That's quite dramatic, isn't it? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I just wonder how many of us say things that are really worth listening to. I remember reading an article one time, and I can't recall all the statistics of it, but it was quite interesting. It was bringing out the point how that the ordinary person who carries on ordinary conversations every day with people, just small talk, that in his or her lifetime, the things that he or she said in just daily conversation would be enough words that would fill, and I don't remember how many, but just an unbelievable amount of volumes and volumes and volumes that could be placed on the library shelf after that person is dead and gone. Just ordinary conversation on a daily basis. How many books would be filled on the library shelf with the things that you said, but how many of those books would be worth reading? Would they say anything? Every now and then, someone comes out with a statement that is absolutely profound. It may be a single word, or it may be a single phrase. And there are various individuals that, even though they said a lot in their lifetime, you probably can't recall anything else that they said except one sentence, because it was so inspiring, so profound. That word spoken was like apples of gold and pictures of silver. For instance, Jim Elliot, the missionary to Ecuador who was killed by the Indians, there was one statement that he made that people remember more than anything else. It was Jim Elliot who said, "He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose." And that's profound. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. And I thought of John Kennedy and all the things that he said. There was one sentence spoken on one particular occasion that people have never forgotten. It was so profound. He said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but rather what you can do for your country." That is just packed with meaning. What about Patrick Henry? Now, maybe you know more about Patrick Henry than I do, but I can't remember anything he ever said in his whole lifetime other than one sentence that was spoken. It was so inspiring, so profound, so tremendous that people have never forgotten what he said on that particular day and on that occasion when he said, what was it? "Give me liberty or give me death." Did you ever hear of Edward Everett? It was Edward Everett who was the featured speaker on that day when the cemetery at Gettysburg was going to be dedicated. Abraham Lincoln was not this special speaker. Edward Everett was. Mr. Everett spoke for about 2 hours on that occasion. Nobody remembers anything he said. Abraham Lincoln spoke just for a few moments. I believe it was about 4 minutes was his speech. And he started out something like this: 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal," and so forth. About 4 minutes he spoke, and his speech was preserved for generations to come, because when he said something, on that occasion, it was so profound, it was so meaningful. I just wonder, how many times is it that when we open our mouth, we say something worth listening to? I love that verse of Scripture in Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. What do? Just open our mouths and move our tongues and just say whatever comes to our brain. And usually it is meaningless, shallow emptiness. Maybe we need to pray before we start out the day, oh God, teach me what to say. As I meet someone along life's road today with a heavy heart, somebody who feels they can't take another step forward, Lord, give me something so profound, so meaningful, that it will be the thing that will lift that soul out of despair to victory. Do you know words are powerful? Proverbs 15, verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? How many of our words are spoken in due season? How often is it that when we open our mouths, we say something that is seasoned with salt, filled with grace? Or alas, after we're dead and gone, if all the conversation that we make could fill volume after volume on the library shelf, if it were all put together, would any of it be worth reading? Maybe we'd better pray David's prayer, and pray it quite often. Psalm 19, verse 4, you know what it says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, Jesus said that you and I are going to give an account for every idle word that we speak. So let the words that we speak minister grace and strength and hope to those around us. We're living in a heartbroken world. Everything around us is given to decay and change, and there's so much hopelessness all around us, among the best of us. But God offers to us his hope and his strength and his victory. And we need to talk things that are positive, things that are filled with faith and believing and trust, and get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our problems, off of even all the badness in society. And there's enough of it. As you watch the evening news, as you read the news and see what people are doing to people, it's unbelievable. And it all leads to despair and hopelessness. Well, I think, well, certainly we need to know what's going on around us. We don't live in a vacuum. But I think it's important, too, not to focus all your attention and all your emotions on all the bad and the sordid and the stuff that people are doing to their fellow man. We need to focus our attention upon God's goodness and his faithfulness and his love and his ability to help us. For it is God who worketh in you, says the Bible, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that certainly is one of the purposes of this morning devotion broadcast. Look at him. You've heard me say so often, every morning lean thine arms a while upon the windowsill of heaven and gaze upon thy Lord. Then with a vision in thy heart, turn strong to meet thy day. And with our hearts set upon Christ, our visions upon the Lord, a desire to do his will, then perhaps today when we talk to people, even in ordinary conversation, when we open our mouth, we'll say something worth listening to, something that will be uplifting, redeeming, helpful, something that will be used of God to rescue somebody who's going down the third time. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Lord, teach us what to say. Give us a mouth of wisdom to be able to say things that will lift somebody who's sinking. Let others see Jesus in us. May they not see ourselves and our shortcomings and our idiosyncrasies, but, oh God, may the world around us and those we work with and those we communicate with today, may they see Jesus in us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Oh, what a verse. That closes the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Malachi, the closing book of the Old Testament. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I want to belong to Jesus. I don't want to be some phony, do you? Some make-believe. You know, God knows our hearts. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. He knows us. And it is vital, it is important that people see Jesus in you. If they don't see Christ in you, there's something wrong. No matter how many professions of faith you made, and no matter how many years you've belonged to some church, if people don't see Jesus in you, There's something wrong with your experience, with my experience. It is important, it is necessary that people see the beauty and the loveliness of Christ within us. Do you remember how that Jesus denounced those self-righteous leaders in his day who made a great show outwardly that they were somebody and they were very, very religious, but inwardly they were not converted? They were not walking in fellowship with God. They were corrupt. And he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise, and come in and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone, ye blind guides, who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." So we don't want to be like that, do we? We want to be a vessel meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. Yes, we can fool people. And a lot of folks do. They put on airs as though they are really a Christian. And they do so for 1 hour on Sunday morning. But then during the week, they live in total contradiction to what they sing about and pray about and hear preached on Sunday morning. And that is what you call, dear friend, a hypocrite, a phony. And hypocrites aren't going to heaven, that's for sure, no matter how many times a person goes to church and how hard they work in church. You've got to live it. Plain and simple, you've got to live it. And if Christ lives within your heart, you will want to live it, because it's all based on love, isn't it? It's not just a lot of duties and regulations and restrictions that we go by. It's based on love. If you love the Lord, Jesus said, do what I say. Carry out my commandments. If you really love me, show me. And when we love somebody, it's no big deal to make them happy. If you really love your wife, if you really love your husband, the thing you want more than anything is to make them happy and to do for them. If you love your children, it's no big sacrifice to give them things and you yourself go without, because you love them. It is said of Jacob, when he worked those 7 years for Rachel, the Bible says they seemed but as few days for the great love that he had for her. And so when we love the Lord, all those restrictions we read about in the Bible, all those commandments, all those verses that says, don't do this, don't live like that, don't talk this way, don't act this way. Listen, that's not a burden. That's the delight of our soul. If you love the Lord, you don't want to talk like that. You don't want to act that way. Those commandments are simply put there as guidelines that we would know anyway if we walked with God. Because if you love Jesus, you don't want to steal. You don't want to lie. You don't want to be untruthful. You don't want to be found in places of ill repute that would break the heart of God. You don't want to be carrying on affairs and committing adultery and running around and being unfaithful. You don't want to do that when you love Jesus. It is our love for the Lord that makes all the difference. Dear friend, has he touched your life? Has he made a difference in you? Are you one of his jewels that he's making up? Well, if you're not, you can be right now in this precise moment, wherever you are. The Lord is speaking to you, and his presence is right there with you. We just Would you just look up to heaven and say, Lord Jesus, touch my heart and soul. I don't want to just be a churchgoer. I want to be a Christian. I want to know that my sins are forgiven, that Christ lives within my heart, and that I'm on my way to heaven. Lord Jesus, make yourself real to me and lay your hand upon me right now and touch me, I pray. Well, dear friends, I sure hope you have a good day today. May the Lord be with you. This is John Thrasher. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. God bless you. My Jesus is now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me.
Jesus, Jesus.